We've got several places to read tonight. I'm going to read the 49th Psalm and the 16th and 17th verse. It says, Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he lived, he blessed his soul, and men will praise thee when thou doest well to thyself. He shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beast that perish. We're going to read these two verses again, the 16th and the 17th. It says, Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. You know, we've heard a saying all of our life, you can't take it with you. But this verse here is saying more than just simply making the comment that you can't take it with you, but that it cannot follow you, that it cannot descend after you. It speaks of a direction, a descension, which is downward. To descend is to move downward. And then we're going to go on over and we're going to read in John, the 20th chapter, it says, and the 17th verse, being the time of year that this passage of Scripture is no doubt read by many. Jesus says unto Mary, He says, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. Once again, speaking of a direction. I will go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, unto my God and your God. And then we're going to go on and we're going to read in Isaiah, we're going to start in the 12th verse of the 14th chapter. The 14th chapter of Isaiah and the 12th verse, this is a portion of Scripture that we know about. If you know anything about the devil, or Lucifer as the Old Testament calls him, we know that that he had a direction he wanted to go, but we also know that he had a direction that he went. And it says here in the 12th chapter, the 12th verse, it says, How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation and the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with the sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden under feet. So tonight we've read several accounts here. We've read of one of the wealthy man that is not trusted in God, but no doubt trusted in his might, no doubt trusted in his power, as he ascended in life, as he lifted himself up, as the world spoke well of him and looked and said, no doubt that look at this wealthy man, look what he's obtained. With his money was able to purchase power, with his money was able to purchase praise, with his money was able to purchase friends. But we find out that he wasn't able to take none of it with him, but that none of it was able to descend down where he went when life was over. We know that we that are born again have a promise, just as Jesus Christ spoke to Mary there. He said that I have not yet ascended to my Father, to your Father, to my God and your God. And I'm thankful that we have a promise of an ascension that's coming. My question to you tonight is that when you pass away, when you decease, will your wealth increase? We know that this world and this wealth down here, we can't take with us. It cannot follow us. But we that are born again, I stand before you tonight. I don't
on much in life. I'm in a lot more debt than I'd care to admit to. But I want to tell you that when I decease, my wealth will increase. When you look on me here in a grace, in a casket, and you might say there's a man that's so many children that never was able to get ahead of life. But I want to tell you, if you've been born again, that you can lay in the grave and know that everything's all right. I'm here to tell you today that if you're trusting in your wealth, if you're trusting like the old Lucifer was, he had a plan, did he not? He thought that he would set himself up higher than the clouds. He thought that because he was so beautiful, that he thought because he was so persuasive, was he not? The Bible said that a third of heaven believed the lies of the devil. And he said, no doubt, I'm going to set up high in heaven and I'm going to take you with me. And there was those angels. And I said, oh, Lucifer, you've got my vote. Oh, Lucifer, I believe that you can do it. But just like today, there's a lot of people making plans for ascension, making plans, no doubt, of what they're going to do in heaven. But just as Lucifer, they'll descend to hell. Oh, why? Because their God is not Jesus God. Because their Father is not the Father of Jesus Christ. Does everybody praise? I want to get this preached down. Somebody needs to hear the message. I don't know who it is. If it's one here, or if it's someone on the internet. But I want to tell you today, there's a lot of people trying their hardest to ascend to lofty heights, but you're wasting their time. Just like the rich man. Think about it. What you said, we were full of preach. Sounds like the same message, just a little different. But that's okay. Why? Because God's sent it. So I better preach it. What you're striving for today, can you take it with you? What you're hungering for today, can you purchase it with money? Well, I'm telling you, if it'll last past the fires, the Bible tells me that this church, that these walls, that the woods behind the church, the field across the road, that it's all going to melt with a fervent heat. I didn't come to die to look at the walls of this church. What I come for is something I can take with me. Something that'll go farther beyond the grave. That's some special church. Why? Because everything we see but the faces of men and women is going to pass away. But I want to tell you, the things of God, the souls of men will never pass away. So then, can you take it with you? But no, you can't. Not the things of this world. Oh, so many people, no doubt, is trying to hold on, but it slipped through their hands. So many people have been buried in their wealth. Well, I've heard of men being buried with sacks of gold in their casket, and not only spoke of their foolishness, but of their greed. That not only did they want it, but they didn't want nobody else to have it. But yet it rotted, lay down, and their flesh rotted, and yet the gold is still there. And the bags that it's in, it is still there. But even it will perish come judgment day. When the world is rolled up like a scroll, when the world is shakes to and fro like a drunkard, it'll pass away as well. But yet your soul will not. There are those religions, I believe it's the Jehovah's Witness, that believes that souls will burn up, that it'll be a moment of torment. But I'm here to declare, declare to you tonight, just as the devil sits there, sits on the side of the field of hell when he finally is cast into the lake of fire, that one that you swore allegiance to, you might not say it with your lips, you said it with your heart, because if you're serving the things of this world, the devil is your father. Don't you think when he's cast into hell, his hatred and his fury for God and for his children and everything is gone, is being going to be turned upon his subjects, just like the wicked kings of this world that could not see that their subjects were the very ones that was gave them a means to rule. They seem to, we know there was kings, not only in the Bible, but in the history of England. We know that Solomon's son said that you thought Solomon was hard. He said, I'm going to be harder. I know he beat you with whips. I'll beat you with the tails of scorpions. And he didn't know that those that were under him, there was the very ones that gave him the ability to live in such wealth. Well, I'm here to tell you, all that hatred, all of that malice toward God will be leashed upon his subjects. I can't begin to understand such hatred, but the devil is the father of it. The devil is the one that has tried in his head, all of his might, that has seemed above even God himself. And the most that followed, I found out it was a lie. Those angels that were bound as well and cast out of heaven, they found out that he was a liar and the father of lies. And so too all the people of this generation. You know, there's a lot of church people that have bought into the lies of modernism, bought into the lies, and it feels good doing it. It's a sad thing to say, but that's being preached in a lot of churches today. There are some preachers that are those that are afraid to call them what they are, devils, or rather wolves in sheep's clothing. Why? Because it seems as if they have the spirit of the Lord, because they can develop, they can gather a big following, because they speak with eloquent words. But the Bible teaches me, it doesn't say, blessed are the educated, blessed are the dignified, but it says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. It doesn't say, blessed are the rich, but it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, because they shall be, for theirs is the kingdom of God. But yet the world looks on these things, but when you study the scripture, it doesn't speak about the gifts of the Spirit. When it speaks about the qualifications of a preacher, when it speaks about his life and how he lives, I want to tell you that you can try to live holy and it don't make you a Christian. But if you are a Christian, you're going to live holy. That's why the Bible says that you got to be a husband of one wife. I've heard a lot of men say that means a woman can't preach. Well, I want to tell you, let's understand what it's saying here. I reckon that the Word of God was trying to be communicated there. Heard a preacher say that. And he was living in adultery. And he said, well, a woman can't preach. Because the Bible says that you had to be the husband of one wife. And I thought, my God, my God. The man can't see the forest or the trees. He thought that he was somehow better than some woman preacher. Well, I reckon he was in the same boat, don't you? Because he weren't qualified to preach God's word. Why is that? Because you gotta be born again. You can't live in your sin. You must, the Bible says, whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another has committed adultery. So then, can I preach God's word? The Bible teaches me that there is no forgiveness without repentance. I'll tell you why I can't preach. Because it means I get born again. Let's call it like God said it. It's time we quit tiptoeing through God's word and claim it for our victory. No need to go on to battle with a slingshot when the Lord gave us the sword of the word of God. That's why I don't say a preacher's got to speak in tongues. You know why? Because there's a lot out there that all their babblings don't have the Spirit of God, and they're living in open sin. And somebody says, oh well, who am I? After all, they've got a great gift. They've got a gift of deception, and they're living in blatant sin. I heard somebody say, well, he's got one wife. He divorced his first and he's married to the second one. He's only living with one. Well, all that is consecutive polygamy. Why? Because God looks down upon him. You ask him himself. You say, that's my first wife. That's my children. By my first wife. He'll even number them, will he not? We've got a problem in this world today. We don't have double married preachers. We have a triple married. I don't know why, and on and on and on. And the congregation says, wow, I really like him. He's so much like me. Amen. They need to be born again as well. Why would anybody want somebody to stand before them and preach and profess to be preaching the word of God that needs to get saved? I'll tell you why. Because they're comfortable. I said none there. Oh, there might be a noise there. But it ain't the Spirit of God. As we preached about a month or two ago, there's a live spirit going through this land. And the people are taking it hook, line, and sinker. Oh, you know why? Because it's a tickling of the ear. It's a scratching of the back. It's a tickling of the belly. Oh, they love it. But it's not the things of God. Because it goes contrary. And they have strived to ascend into heaven. And they have strived that, you know what? That's right, there ain't no spirit in the churches anymore. We used to accept sin. And now we ordain it. We used to say it was pretty good. For that it was not good. But after all, who am I to judge? Well, the Bible, if the word of God condemns you, you're judged already. The word of God is what I will have to answer to you. I'm just to be a road sign. But we got so many preachers that are weather vanes, and they point whichever direction the wind's blowing. But God ain't called out his men to be weather vanes. But he's called us out to be road signs to declare the truth, whether it's popular or unpopular, whether all the world's doing it or whether nobody's doing it. It don't matter. What matters is at the end of the day, boy, I sure can't seem to get past it tonight. You know what I'm talking about. But I want to tell you, I am preacher. It's burning for the laws Ghost. And I'm not talking about a simple drunkard out on the street. Well, I'm talking about the proselyte, or the Pharisee, the religious, or those that are religious Christians that go to church people, but have never had a regeneration. I'm talking about the foxhole Christian who gets in, when he gets in trouble, he calls out to God. But yet he still is willing to fully repent and to surrender to God. I'm talking about the one when they get convicted, whether it's adultery or whatever it is, you ought to see somebody get to start working in the church. Just you preach against the sin they're in. And instead of laying it down, they come to church a little bit early. They volunteer to teach Sunday school. They volunteer to mow the lawn. And are trying within their own self to ascend into heaven. But just as Lucifer, they'll be cast into hell. Not because Daryl said it, but because the living word, Jesus Christ, said it. Whosoever put away his wife and married another committed adultery. The Bible says, I don't know how we're preaching this, but we're going to preach it anyhow. The Bible says, no drunkard, no fornicator, no adulterer shall have eternal life. So then, how are we going to get around it? We're going to try to sit on the side of the north. We're going to try to ascend into heaven. But I'm here to tell you, you'll not be able to take your religion with you, or your salvation with you into hell. For you have none. You've got a religion, but it'll descend down with you. Why? Because it goes contrary to the things of God. So then, I heard there's a denomination that was so often, they get together and they strike this verse out of the Bible and this one and this one. But I didn't know this took place until somebody started telling me about this that had been in that religion. And I thought, what boldness. There's a lot of free will Baptists that don't believe the Bible, but you won't get them to come together and say, well, this verse here, it's brother Bill, I make a motion, we take it out. And then brother Bill, feeling pretty good that I cleared him of his iniquity, stands up and says, this verse over here, it's brother Daryl, I make a motion, I'll remove it, and they strike it out. But the word of God is wrote in heaven. There's nobody up there listening to our bone, seeing whether we'll agree with it or not. But it's fair, and we'll have to give an account for it. And just as Lucifer, with all of his power, with all of his persuasion, when he stood before God, God said, Lucifer, who do you think you are? And he'll say it to you as well. If Daryl is so foolish to think he can raise himself up above the word of God, I will hear it as well. Daryl, why were you so foolish? Why did you reject my word? Why did you sit there and think that old preacher was crazy when he was the only one all your whole life told you the truth? Why can't you look him in the eye? Why do you gotta look down? Why do you gotta tell yourself time and time again when you're alone that can't be right? There's so many that's going to hell today. That's what breaks your heart. So many preachers that lay down the word. But you know, that's one thing. I don't care what it is. I want to make an informed decision. I want to hear the arguments on both sides. If I'm going to vote for a candidate, we had a woman, I can't remember even one office, she was running for, But she was there at Farm Fest, and I had a booth trying to sell some feed to cattle producers. And she come up and she started to introduce herself. And I knew some of her family. But you know what? I believe it, it was, what was she running for, Daddy? The woman that takes care of all the people that are old and can't take care of themselves in the county. But you know what I'm talking about. And of all the politicians that ran for every county seat, she was the only one that come to me and personally asked me for my vote. Well, she wasn't and the political party that I normally vote for. But she searched me out. Well, that's the way God is. He will search you out. He wants you to make an informed decision. He don't want you. When you stand before him, say, God, I would have chose you, but I just didn't know about you. That's why he created all that's around us to lift up a praise to him. Every time you see a songbird, lift up his head and begin to sing. He was trying with all of his mind to communicate to you, though he was a small creature, that my God is real. I see you lift my head up because he fed me this morning. What do we do? We say, well, ain't that funny? Well, that bird evolved in such a way that he can't sing without lifting his head up. Fools that are fools. God is trying with all of that's all within him to communicate to you. You say, well, no, he's not, girl. He really wanted me to know the right word. Well, he would speak from heaven and tell me that this is the right way. He even done that when Jesus Christ came. The Lord said, God Almighty, this is my beloved Son, at whom I'm well pleased. It says in another place that he was to, that she was to listen and hear him. And what does it say? Some said, why? Did you hear the thunder? Another says, what was that great noise? So then, even in that miraculous event, there was those that could not simply believe because they would not listen. Because, you know, there's those who can't understand. Well, why do you get so emotional? But yet, surely the goodness, there's not a one of us that's not cried at the death of a loved one. Oh, I see some people. You ever go to a funeral and you see the big old burly man and they don't want to cry at mama's funeral and they don't want to cry at daddy's funeral. And you see them fighting back the tears. Oh, you see them maybe nonchalantly act like they're scratching their eye. But you know, there was one man in particular I seen just not too long ago. And I thought, my thinks he's tough because he ain't crying at his daddy's funeral. But you know what? I would hope that in the privacy somewhere that he shed a tear for his father. For his father, no doubt, shed a tear for him. And those that have been born again, those that are called of God to preach, those that have seen how close they come to being cast into the same pit in which Satan himself, Lucifer, found himself. You've shed some tears and you're understood and realized what's at stake. It's the souls of our loved ones that'll never, ever, ever die. It's the souls of those that we don't even know we come in contact with. It's the souls of those. I seen a girl, two girls, and I'll have to say, when I looked at them, the first reaction was that they got in a betting contest of who can make themselves the ugliest, because they had all these tattoos on them. They had their hair cut like it looked like a drunken sailor that took the shears to it. Their hair was so short and it was gapped, and I thought, my goodness, I could have done a better job standing on my head blindfolded. And then they had piercings through their nose, through their ears, through their cheeks, and I thought, my goodness, but it's their souls that well, those that look hard to us, those that look dear. Have you ever seen? I've seen some children this week sitting there at Walmart, and they were there waiting for their picture to be taken, and they were so sweet, and I seen their parents, and their parents looked so lost, and I thought, my God, what's going to become of those? It's the souls of those little children that are at stake. And then there are those that you meet, whether it's a drunk on the street, whether it's a man you work with, that have never been to church because it's just not some place to go. A man that you talk to and really you can't see anywhere or anything in his life that he has that's such a vice that he couldn't surrender to God, but yet he still will not surrender. It's his soul's at stake, and it's yours as well. If you become a fool and thought that you're going to ascend into heaven, and when it comes down and comes time, that you'll find yourself like a rich man, that none of those things will follow you as you descend further and further and further, never to reach bottom. In this life, we can truly hit bottom. Some of us here tonight, that's what it took, did it not? We hit bottom. That's the old saying is. Our life was shattered, and we seen there's no way that we can live life without our Lord and Savior. But when you're cast into that bottomless pit, you'll forever fall, ever be dying, but yet I'm not reaching death. Death is in the minds of men, a place of peace. Oh, think about it. What do you reckon went through the mind of the man that thought he would end his life, end his suffering, end his pain from cancer? So he went and he took a gun and he shot himself. I tell you what he was thinking. He thought he could ascend higher than God himself. God would make an exception. Or he thought that he didn't even exist. The religion of humanism. That we are our own gods. But yes, though we might be our own gods, that God will fail us because he has no control over our future. Listen to me, and neither do you. You think you're in control. All right then, just for a minute, take a deep breath, and now hold it, and now tell your heart, just tell yourself, okay, I'm going to slow my heartbeat down. Okay, one, two, now stop it. Well, you say, girl, that's crazy. I know you can't do it. And why would you? Because if you could start, stop your heart, do you really know you could start it back again? It's foolishness, isn't it? And so as you think and you've got things in control, but yet God holds your heart in his hand, and he could save this very moment. It's the end of your chances. Your last chance is past. The last call has been given. But the door of mercy is swinging closed. And for you, the judgment day of the Lord will have come. For there's some that watch the news. I worked with a fella. I can remember when the first Gulf War took place. And he was scared. And he come to me because he knew I went to church. Because he seen something different in my life. He not only knew that I was a religious Christian, but that I had been born again. And he said, Darrell, could this be the end? I said, Kenny, why you want to know? He said, because if it's the end, I need to make things right. That's my knowledge. I don't know. I've not heard anyhow that he has. And I'm wondering, with every bomb, with each and every bomb, with each and every press report that's released from over there in the nation of Israel, or over there in Iran, I'm wondering when Iran sends and launches their missile, because I don't know if it'll be Iran or not, but we know there's coming a great war, and there will be those that seek to destroy Israel. And you know what? I'm wondering if he's still yet waiting for that time. I'm not knowing that the day of the Lord can come for Kenny this very hour. How foolish to think that he could have sinned higher than the divine origin of God's timing and make a decision and slip past the grasp of the Lord. But we must come as sheep to the slaughter. We must surrender all. We must lay down and trust in that loving master. Aren't you glad he's not only the sheep, the shepherd that watches over the sheepfold, but he's the one that shears us from time to time. You take your old sheep and never get sheared, and you'll see how it begins to look. Well, there's a lot of church folks today that is straight away. They're not like that woman. The 99. And God's seeking you out that you might not perish. He's calling to you and telling you before it's too late. Why to sin at your death when you can ascend with Christ Jesus? Why lose everything that way that you decease? You can truly have your wealth increase if you trust and laid up your treasures in heaven. Let's get some song to sing. Each and every one of us, we need to pray. We need to see ourselves as God sees us. It does me no good to look in the mirror and tell myself that I'm slim and trim if I'm 200 pounds overweight. You know why? Because my health will not improve. My blood pressure will not go down if I continue to lie to myself. But if I look in that mirror and I say, Darrell, you need help, that's the beginning of me finding help. There's a lot of fellas I've worked with that told me they ain't got a drinking problem. But if you see them on the weekend, their eyes are all glassed over because they've been drinking, and they'll never find peace unless they realize they'll never be set free from the bondage of sin until they cry out in their chains to an almighty God. Jesus tonight has pulled at your soul, and you felt the tug of the chains that have got you bound. Be not content to dwell there on the wall of sin, but might you be set free, that you might ascend with Christ Jesus, that you might reign with His Father and your Father, with His God and your God. Can you call Him your God tonight? Can you call Him your Father? Because if you can't say that with a clear conscience, well, then you need to meet my Jesus. Thank you.
Have you surrendered? Well, Darrell, what's that mean?
Now let's use it in the terms of the military. In the military, there was those that were asked for an unconditional surrender. That's what Jesus is asking for tonight. There is no way. There is no way to surrender 50% of your army. There's no way that you can surrender for 50% of your will. For a long time over there in Ireland, that's what they wanted to do, didn't they? Not. They wanted to have peace, but yet not surrender of their arms. Why? Because they wanted them in case they had a fight another day. I know that there was a part in my life when I didn't want to fully surrender to God. I didn't want to let go of my arms in case sometime I felt of the need to take care of things myself once again. But that's not being fully committed to the Lord. That's not an unconditional surrender. But to unconditionally surrender is to say, Lord, I trust you now, and I will trust you in the future. Lord, I need not this gun to fight my enemies, because I have you. Lord, because I have fully surrendered to you, I'll not find myself in the means or in the need which to fight my battles, because I've strayed away from you. See, because ultimately that's what we really want, isn't it? We want the means to protect ourselves, the means to take care of ourselves, in case we would decide to take an excursion out of the will of God. See, don't you see that that speaks of your heart and the condition of it today? My prayer is that, I don't know what you're trusting in. The rich man was trusting in his riches, was he not? But we find here that it will not be able to descend down with him. And whatever you're trusting in today will not be either. Whether it's religion, whether it's positive thinking, whether it's clean living, but you must trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone. I'm thankful that if we take His Word, that we will never find ourselves in a place that we'll know not what to do.